Hey, to whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand tall. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games to play make me want to lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over.
Hello everyone, welcome to CEO Talk. This is the woman's journey, right? This is where we do interviews to discuss a woman's career path or their entrepreneur experience, right? I am your host, Jaysa King, on this segment of the Just Jaysa platform. That is where we have all of the amazing podcasts that I bring to you on either a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Saturday within a month. We will be discussing, again, the entrepreneur world, a stay-at-home mom's experience going from a career to being at home, or just a woman with an amazing story. Every Wednesday at 12 p.m. right here on all of your favorite podcast platforms, or check me out on YouTube with a full video. You can also find our past episodes on our website at audacityofwomen.com. If you enjoy these amazing women's stories, make sure you hit the subscribe button, like this video, comment your inspiration, but most importantly, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of the future interviews. Now, let's jump into this amazing CEO talk for the week. And so I looked through your bio and what you sent, and I was reading. I'm like, okay, TMHC, I'm going to always remember that. Like, I'm going to remember that forever. So can you tell us what TMHC is, who you are, and how they correlate together?
I will start by saying I started TMHC initially back in 2016. My, I like to call her my sister-in-law, but she was really like a mom. She passed away from colon cancer. And at the time, the employer I was working at, I just felt like, you know how they give you like the 3 days and then you have to come back to work. And I was just like, so like, who does that? Like, she was more like a sister-in-law. She was a mother. And I was just beating myself up a lot, like, you know, just going through the motions, working and not like paying attention to like how my mental was. I think it affected me more than I like to say. I would like to say that it was probably the second death in my life that, well, now third, the second, though, at that time that affected me more than I really like could pinpoint, like, what is happening? Like, why am I like not really want to get out of bed, not really want to be present at work, even present in my marriage, like, because my husband doesn't process grief the way I do. And that's a whole nother thing, because, you know, when you're married, people think that you and him or you and her, or even if you're same sex, you guys process things the same because you've been together so long. And my husband is a workaholic, so he was just going to work like da 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 da, like no, like
now,
hello,
right? I'm over here going through it,
and it wasn't until one day I was at work. I have epilepsy. Also, I've been having epilepsy since I was a kid, and one day I was at work, and I was just sitting there like bawling. And my supervisor said, have you ever dealt with depression? And I was like, girl, black people don't got that. Depression.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, seriously. She's like, have you ever thought about talking to somebody or just journaling? And it was so mind blowing because people always say, oh, journal, journal. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm going to be sitting here talking to myself. That's going to work. And so I took her advice. I went home and I literally just start writing a journal about like what's happening to me. Because prior to my sister-in-law passing away, I was in Cabo and she called and told me and my husband that she was ready. And when we got home 3 weeks later, my sister-in-law passed away. So I wasn't ready for that. Even all the things that happened when I came back home, I was just so still caught up in my own feelings, not realizing that mental health is really real. And sometimes, like, we all process things differently. And sometimes employers, they are only giving us the surface of things because they still have to run a business. And sometimes we don't want to admit, but healthcare is a business. But sometimes I feel as though even I am in management, I feel like sometimes we run it the wrong way because we were so taught to like, oh, here's the 3 days. Oh, here's EAP. But what else? Like, are you guys going to check up on me every now and then and say, like, do you need something? Do you need to take an extra day off? Like, they don't care about that. So I came up with the idea to maybe start a consulting company because I've always, I'm the oldest of three, and I feel like I'm the family manager. I always handle everything for everybody. And so I came up with this idea. I was like, I didn't really know a name. I just knew, like, I wanted something to represent myself. So I came up with the TMHC, Tanisha Mitchell Healthcare Consultant, just so I can work with various individuals to deal with grief, to deal with when you're sad. Because people think grief comes just when someone passed, but I feel like grief happens even when you lose a girlfriend. Like, when that friendship is no more. Because I've been there before. So when I was writing in my journal, I was like, hey, that happened to me before too, when I wasn't her friend, or when I had a disagreement. Because as you know, as women, sometimes we don't know how to talk. We just be like, oh, we done. And then go be somebody else's friend. And then the new friend, you think like you're trying to incorporate the old relationship that you have with the new one. You like, if you just talk, sometimes communicate, then you can get through the old things. But sometimes our brain is not wired that way. And sometimes people are not just, they're not ready yet, to be honest. Like, they're not ready to be, like my nephew always like to say, like, my nephew is so excited to be an adult. He's only six. So he always says, I'm ready to grow up. I'm like, well, you're not really ready to grow up, Carter, because
it's different.
He's the only child too. So, and I tell him all the time, I said, but you know, you have to have patience and you have to have understanding. And I didn't have that for the longest. Like, I was like, now, girl, you know, I'm trying to talk to you about this and that and the other. So why are you not ready? But sometimes, like, it's true. We're just not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So at TMHC, I feel like over time we have evolved. Like, as you know, you've seen me out before. I like fashion. So I like the fact that sometimes when we are down, or when we, I like sometimes to call it when we beat ourselves up, because I am that individual. I can't admit sometimes I'm so hard on myself. Like, I forget to be grateful in the moment and how far I have come. But you forget all that when you're like in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to talk about fashion here at TMHC. I also like to talk about our mental wellness, because we are so prone to like work. We don't understand, like, sometimes your body needs rest, and real rest. Like, you need to go night early, like 5 hours of sleep, 3 hours, especially when we have like kiddos and things like that. Like, they don't understand. But I feel like if we all get on the same page sometimes and like work with each other, like, I don't have my own children that I birthed, but I still feel like even helping raising children, like, we need a village. Like, I don't know why people think we get grown and we're like, oh, we don't need villages anymore.
Figure it out. No, you do.
Yeah, you really do. Like, even adults need villages. So I felt like with TMHC, like, we can talk about fashion. We can talk about our mental wellness. We can also talk about, like, different ways to help communicate more effectively, and talk about our emotional intelligence, because it's not just for women. I also believe, like, men. I married somebody 11 years older than me, and sometimes, like, I'm like, hello. Like, we don't do that anymore. And my parents are young. My mom is only 60 and I'm 44. So I feel like me and my mom are still teaching each other things. And then my dad passed away in 2020. So that came with I feel like TMHC had to reevaluate, like, who I was and who I was going to be if I'm going to still try to preach the word to people, per se. So I had to learn how to recultivate my faith, because, you know, you start, especially, that's him in the back, especially when you lose someone so close to you. Like, my dad was like my hero. So I'm like, mm-hmm. God. And then, you know, you grow up in the church learning not to question
God.
Mm-hmm. So I found myself like, how am I going to be this person to people? So when you asked me even to do this, I was like, what's she seeing me? Let me get on this stuff. People know that I have cracks in me too. So I just want to tell you before we go any further, I thank you so much for seeing something in me that I have been wanting to do this for so long, just to show people that, you know, we need to be more of a community and stop being so scared of things, like, because we don't have all our ducks in a row. And I commend you so much for getting at me, and I just want to tell you I appreciate it so much, because I do love this, and I think that's probably why I'm not nervous, because I talk about it all the time. Like, I'm at the barbershop and they're like, I'm trying to encourage the young generation, because I feel like one day I'm gonna blink and I'm gonna be 60 like my mom, and I care about, like, these kids that's coming behind me, because they don't care no more. And I'm like, why you don't care? Like, it'd be the smallest thing sometimes to me, like, how we can do better. And I'm like, well, if we don't help each other, then who's going to come help us? Yeah. Like, who's going to come help us? So I feel like that's what TMHC is about. Like, I want to also give back to the younger generation, to show them that I didn't always have it together, but I'm here to help provide the tools and the resources if you need it. Like, I can reach out to you guys. I can reach out to various different organizations to have that organization to build that network. So that's what I want TMHC to be about.
Okay, I like it. And just to go a little bit, I met Tanisha Ricks. Nobody will know this, of course, except the people who were there. But when I met you, you were this burst of energy. And, like, I am really reserved when I first meet people. Like, so I don't say much. I'm quiet. I'm observing. I'm soaking it in. And it's like, okay, she's cool. I like her. Okay.
You did just that too.
And that's how I am. But it's like, I'm observing. I'm like, she has this something. I can't really put my finger on. This was what, 3 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, she has this something about her. So to the world, I can't tell y'all what it is. I can't pinpoint it. That ain't my job to pinpoint it. But obviously, there's a whole lot to it. So trying to pinpoint it into one thing ain't gonna work, because it's multifaceted right here.
Yes, it really is. My friend always likes to say that you have this burst of energy. He was like, I can't explain it, but I know, like, when you're in the room, like, people get. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I never wanted to, like, I was shy away from it, but then I'm like, God, if that's what you want me to hear to help and to serve, like, I'm not going to shy away from it no more, because I'm just going to tell people my story. And maybe my testimony will be a test for someone else to be like, oh, okay, if she could do it, I could do it. So that's the whole point that I want people to see. Like, sometimes life do be life, and trust me, it do be life. But it's like, do you want to sit there and just wallow in your sorrows, or do you want to try again? Like, do you want to dust yourself off, get back up and be like, tomorrow's a new day, let me try this again? So that's just perceive things. Like, you know, it's like, life is too short. Like, you don't want to sit here and just be so sad that you don't want to reach out to people. Because I used to be that person, like, be so riddled with anxiety, like, oh, I'm scared to tell somebody because they're not going through it. But we all essentially are sometimes. It just depends on your season.
Yeah. So with TMHC, you've bridged the gap to try to get people to understand their mental awareness, sort of say.
Yes. I try to bridge the gap to, like, for instance, I have some handy dandy tools back there on this board that I'm building to, like, for example, I just signed up to help individuals who need to receive a TANF, SNAP, various
type of assistance. Yeah.
Kind of assistance I have applied for myself. So when you, if I can help you, I will apply in your honor. So let's just say if you didn't know how, because now you can't go to an office to apply for these benefits. So if you reach out to my services, I can help you walk you step by step online to go into those services, because now everything is done online, but everybody doesn't know how to use the computer. Which we're like, really? But yes, really. Some people still, they need that help. So we are here to bridge the gap to those that may find it hard to still use a computer, or still find it hard to find those services in those particular areas.
Okay, I like that. So it's going to be a long question. It's just like, once, like, I was in, like, your energy, like, when I met you, you're like, oh, she dresses beautiful. Like, I could never, like, give me something black, give me something plain, that's it. Anything else, I'm like, ah, people who can live in that is like, color is beautiful, but I just won't wear it. I don't know why, but I just won't wear it.
It's like, today I had to be like, okay, Tanisha, I don't know what's going to you don't need to come in with a pop of color lip or something.
But you can, and that's the beauty in you, because it makes me remember you. Like, it literally made me remember you.
Like, oh, for the pink, and I was like, just, can you just tone that?
Oh, like, it made me remember you after all this time. So with that being said, what is a misconception that you have come across when you're introducing your business to others? Because, of course, people look at you and they judge you. Like, everybody judges everybody. So when you tell them what it is you do, what is something that you run into and it's like, you're not listening to me. You're not listening.
I have a big misconception, I think, that people will assume that because I'm very blunt and straightforward, that sometimes my sassiness comes off as arrogance. And it's not that I'm never arrogant. I'm very humble at how far I have come in life. But I am very confident of who I am. I'm very assurance of, there can be numerous beautiful women, powerful women. I work around a lot of powerful women, and I'm still in school trying to get these dual masters. And there's women around me that have those already. And I'm just very assured of myself. And I always tell people that comes from my mother. I don't know if that's because she was so young and she was just... I'm very much my mother's child, but I'm very confident in who I am. I love, like, being bald and being right. Just I love, like, lighting up the room, because I feel like sometimes, like, that's not people's space, and that's okay. But if you are truly someone in my circle, I'm gonna make sure, like, they know that we're here. Like, we've arrived. And we are here. Like, what do we need to do? Like, we are here, because sometimes, like, you never know, like, your mood might light someone else's mood up, and just show them that it's okay, because it's truly a miracle sometimes. Like, I'm like, you know, you need to calm down. Do you got ADD? What is wrong with you, honey?
But you don't have to calm down by no means.
It's not that. It's like, even sometimes people on my team are like, you know, we need that energy. We know when something's wrong, because you're like, you're not your most boisterous, like, boisterous self. And I'm just like, I don't know. I've been that way. I tell people I've been like this since I was six. I have been very out, like just in your face, just very, I'll just say it's confidence. I love it. As the older I get, I think I have more of the, you like it or you don't. And I try to not be so apologetic about it, because sometimes I find myself like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Like, you know, being apologetic about it, because someone else in the room is like subdued, or they don't want to be as vulturous as I am. Couple of women that when I met you, they were in that room and they knew me, and I was like, okay, I don't know a lot of people here, so let me try to keep my voice on. And I'm a loud person, so I'm like, okay, well, we're in this setting, like, you might want to just tone it down until you five people, because I went right over to you and introduced myself, and
you did.
I was like, you want me to go get you a plate? Like, I was already like, you was cousin. Hey, cousin. Like, I am that kind of person. And I just always want people to know, it's not never that I'm cocky. It's very that I'm humble. And I've been there before. Like, I have been through things that I am just not afraid to tell people, because I never want people to think, like, how far I come in life. Like, it can't happen to me, because as he gave it to you, he can take it from you. So I never want people to think like, oh, that can't happen to me. Yes, it probably already has. I just wearing good, honey. I just got this makeup. I just got this fade, because before, I remember I told you before, my hair used to be down here. And one day I came back from a trip and I was like, I'm so tired of wearing this Lion King mane. I just
no want it no more.
Side first, I did one side. And I was like, I still don't like it. And then I just did the whole thing. And I've only been bald since 2019. When I first met you, that's when I first cut my hair off.
So, like, when I met you, I had locks. And I just came home one day and just, like, I don't want it no more.
It's so liberating. Like, it didn't even blend it. There's just so many things that changes. So I'm just like, yeah, life's been life. And so you just either deal with it or you don't.
I gotcha. So in what ways do your skills contribute to the mission and values of your company? Like, how do they go hand in hand?
I think the mission and values align with me pretty well because I'm very a service person. I used to be like, I'm so tired of doing this or tired of helping this person. But then I'm also in the same breath, like, why nobody is coming to help us? Why, even when we're doing the right things and we're on track, it's like, you know, like we're waving, SOS, come save us. Still nobody sees.
Ain't nobody gonna save us but us.
No, and it's just like, it makes me so upset sometimes. Like, that's what makes me want to stray away from the corporate side, because it's like, I feel like sometimes, even myself, I'm just being used for a short time and not a long time. And so I feel like here at TMHC, like, I can make my own rules and I can learn from the outside. And if it's something that I need to tweak or I need to learn, like, and that's the big thing about me. Like, I am a true learner. Like, I love to learn. Like, I'm not, if it's something that you need to tell me, even after this interview, that we could do better, I'm like, oh, okay, because next time. Like, I'm not going to be upset because somebody suggests constructive criticism. And I think sometimes that's what's wrong with my people, especially as women. Like, we know everything.
We don't tell us nothing. We don't know jack squat, but you can't tell us nothing.
Nothing. And I'm like, we're still learning because it's all new to us. Because as you know, no one teaches us some of the things that we're trying to learn. We have to learn them on our own. So that's what I think I'm learning now. With the values and the mission of my company, that ask questions. If you don't know, ask someone. And if that person don't know, or if they say no, go to the next person. And I'm big now on my faith, just because I said this the other day to somebody. I said, no wonder why the old people always was like, keep living. Like, they ain't never lied, because
they didn't.
It's so much going on. It's like, who else would you want to, you know, put all your trust in? Because you can't put that much trust in a man or a woman. So I feel like now with my company, like, I do believe, I do have a sense of strong faith, and I don't want to work with somebody who's like, you know, turning their nose up because I'm talking about faith. And at the same time, I'm like, oh yeah, but I do still listen to future. It's called duality. So if you don't want to be bothered what I have going on, then maybe I'm not for you. So I'm just learning to let everyone have an opinion, because we all have one, and then that's okay. And maybe the things that we do here at TMHC is just not for you, and that's okay. Because I used to struggle a lot that I'm not a certified, like, coach, or I'm not a therapist. And a doctor just told me this over a couple of weeks ago. She said, you can't stress that you're not a therapist or a certified coach, because you have lived experiences that other people might be like, oh,
they need that.
If Tanisha went through that, or if Tanisha can get through it, then what makes me any different? So that just sealed the deal. I was like, yeah, I'm ready. What do we need to do? I'm ready.
It's like, you'd be amazed at how many people, and it's like, I'm still fairly young. I'm still in my early 30s. And it's like, I'll talk to people, and they're like, what? And once people are on my story, they're like, you did what? You went through what? You did all this body? And it's like, it was hard. Yeah. If anybody listens, if you don't pick up anything else, just keep trying, because it's not easy.
Yes, it really
is. But it's not the end goal. Like, you write your story.
It's like, keep trying. It's like, you never know. Like, today could be today, and then tomorrow it's like, what in the world? Like, tomorrow can be drastically different. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep just trying to reach different avenues. Because at first I was just so focused on, like, working with healthcare providers. Because in the beginning I was working with tons of providers, and then my father passed, and then I just went cold turkey. I didn't work with anyone. And then it was weird, because, like, different various beauty shops and people started asking me, like, oh, do you work with this? And I kept saying, well, I think every time I go to the beauty shop, I tell them my story, or the barbershop. You know, everyone has that therapist that's really not a therapist. So I was like, I'm going to work with various industries, and because I feel like we all have some kind of mental wellness that we could work on.
Okay. So, through that, what keeps you inspired?
I would say the one main thing that keeps me inspired is that because I love change. I love that sometimes the things that we are doing today, it might not necessarily work for us tomorrow or next week because they've come up with a new idea. Like I said earlier, I'm in school now. So now we have this cool tool, AI, and I'm not really like big on it, but when I get them papers rolling out, I'm like, hey, AI.
Help me out.
Hello. And so I'm real big on change and I'm real big on like community. Like I'm real big on team. So you really necessarily can't do a lot of things by yourself unless you ask questions and ask others to help. So I'm real big on always looking for new ways to show up or looking for new ways to see how we can help. I stay online always trying to encourage. And at first I wasn't because I was like, you know, you need to stop with the slang. But sometimes you have to reach the other generation who their English is broken. And Lord knows that some of the slang, I have to literally ask my 20-year-old niece. I was like, what did that mean?
What did it mean?
She was like, W-U-D. I said, what is that, Kate?
W-U-D?
What you doing?
So not W-Y-D?
That's what I said. So what happened to the U? Because U is Y-O-U. She's like, Titi, you're thinking too much into it. It's different ways to say U. I said, you are absolutely correct. Because sometimes, you know, when you text it, you just put the U. And I was like, oh. Or
I'm
like,
not even doubt to put, because in my mind, somebody can't spell wood. Like, why you misspell wood like that?
When she texted me, I said, what are you talking about wood? She's like, oh my God, you're acting like, honey, you're such a boomer. I said, first of all,
not a boomer. Chill out.
WTM. I said, what's that? She's like, what's the move? So,
hey, so I thought WTM meant what that mean.
I did too. And I said, see, I have to catch up with the various generations. I got to be with the boomers. I got to be with y'all. It's just, I said, so I try to make sure that I'm trying to make sure that I communicate effectively with them. So I try to make sure that I understand change because everybody, we are all not changing at the same pace. And we all are not doing things, as people would like to say, correctly, but who's doing something correctly? Like, in actuality, like, if you're getting well and you're being well and you're raising your children well, like, this new thing, gentle parenting, my parents ain't never did that. But it seemed to work nowadays. And I'm like, yeah, because y'all do need to stop yelling at these kids. Like, what's the problem with us just talking? And that was the
beginning of them. I hope that's gentle parenting.
My parents talked so much to us. Like every week we had this thing where on Sunday, like we said all our problems to each other. Like, and my dad was like, this is the one day y'all could cuss. I said, yeah, we're going to cuss on Jesus Day. Okay, but so I'm real big on communication. Like I'm like all my friends' person. And sometimes like, no joke, I'll get like 6 calls in one night because my friends, like they want to tell me. And I'm like, y'all know I'm younger than some of y'all, right? And I just have to think about it. Sometimes I'm like, God, it's a blessing because some of my friends could be, you know, harming themselves. Some of them could be, you know, using some other substance besides marijuana. And I'm like, so maybe I am here to truly serve and help people. So I think it's cool sometimes. And sometimes it's not always peaches. Sometimes I'm like, y'all got one more in me. This is the 5th person now, number 8. I swear I'm putting my phone on do not disturb.
And don't call me. Don't text me. Leave me alone.
I'm putting my phone. But I do love it. I love to help. I love to just be there for my people because, like I said, if we're not there, then who is it? Who's going to be there?
True. So what is one of your greatest fears? And how do you work toward overcoming it?
One of my greatest fears probably now, in all honesty, is working on trying not to be so perfect. Anyone who is the firstborn, we always have this expectation that you have to be so great.
Everything has to be all right all the time. Yeah.
even my siblings, like I have two sisters and we're all 2 years apart. And my sister thinks I am like the greatest thing since sliced bread. They think I know everything. And I had to tell my sister yesterday, I said, you know, I just be Googling, right? Google. That's all I do. And she was like, well, you know, you can't do me any harm. Like, you're just the best sister ever. And I love my sister for thinking that. But sometimes, like, when they think that, like, it puts, like, more pressure on me because I'm like, I got to get it. I got to get it the first time. But in actuality, you don't. Like, you can dust yourself off again, Tanisha, and maybe try, like, 8 times, like everybody else who come to you and offer you the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm just learning now, like, it's okay to be wrong sometimes. It's okay even to be corrected. As long as you try, like you just said, don't give up. Just keep going. And it's okay to not always thinking that you have to be so perfect, because there's no one perfect, no man or woman. The only person that's perfect to me in my eyes is God. So I'm trying to work on stop trying to have everything and all my ducks in a row, just so people can hear my word or to see my experiences at TMHC, because no one's really perfect. Like, that is...
If you waiting for perfection, we ain't gonna never get nothing accomplished.
I feel like my dad used to tell me, like, if you're waiting for all your ducks to be in a row, some of the ducks, you gonna get them in a row, and then one...
They done left. Yeah.
The other one gonna run left. It's
and
like...
Now you chasing them, and you still ain't did nothing.
And now look in the street, I'm like, where is all these ducks? I got one duck. So I'm like, now I'm just trying to go. When I get an opportunity, I'm not trying to literally take every opportunity, but when it feels right and I'm like, oh, okay, this might be meant for me because it might open more doors, like, take it. And don't be scared. Like, we're all are human. Like, everybody just has, some people have these little fancy titles. Some people have a little more money than you, but don't be scared. Walk in rooms and go in there with that confidence, with that bright smile, and let them know who you are. Like, that's just where I am now. And sometimes it feels so great to just be yourself and not being something that somebody expects you to be.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I use the word so a lot. I got to stop using this word so much. This is awful. Being a woman of color,
mm-hmm.
How do you make your image known? And then it's not outweighed by stereotypes. Like, you're a Black woman, you enter a room with these men, and it's like, oh, this is a Black woman. And not to mention the haircut. I get it. It's like, I got a haircut. They automatically, I dye my hair colors. You're automatically put into this box where you don't know much. Like, you don't know that about me at all.
That's a big one for me, because I feel like sometimes, like, being a strong woman, sometimes I feel like, I always test myself when I go to the barbershop, because, you know, sometimes just depending on the barbershop, it could be this way or it could be that way. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the barbershop and a gentleman asked me, he was like, Miss Lady, do you listen to Bun B? I was like, yes, I do. He's like, well, you carry yourself. I said, see, that's the perception that you guys think, because I come here and I don't really talk. I said, that's just because I'm trying to be respectful, because I said, I don't know if some of you guys in here are married or in relationships, and I never want people to perceive like, oh, I'm just coming in here and just chatting, yeah, and just, you know, trying to talk. I said, no. And I said, then I respect my husband also. I said, because I'm married, I don't want people also to think like, oh, I'm just coming in here and I'm just trying to talk to these various gentlemen. I said, but at the same time, I also want you guys to respect me for who I am. So I appreciate how he came at me, but at the same time, I walked out. I was like, no, he didn't think I was
like, do I look like I listen to that? Because I do, but do I look like that?
I was like, do I look like that? And then I told him, I was like, it's something that I work on. I said, because I'm a real big person on respect. I said, and it takes a person to have to walk in rooms to help somebody understand that you command respect. It's not that, oh, you're just going to give it to me because I'm at the barbershop that day. You're going to give it to me whether you see me at the barbershop, the grocery store, anywhere, because I'm going to show you that same respect. And sometimes I feel like having my hair blonde or sometimes red, or people are perceived like, oh, they don't take you serious. Like, oh, you're not serious because, oh, you have colored hair, or me, I wear big earrings all the time. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, to me, this is just an outfit. Like, this is just something.
That's how I express myself.
Yeah, this is just to enhance my beauty, because I can walk in here with a bare face and still think I'm the most beautifulest thing in the room. I tell my niece and nephews all the time, you are beautiful inside the car, outside, in the trunk, in the AC part, the glove compartment. It doesn't matter wherever you are. Like, you're always going to be the one that is the most beautiful thing in the room, because I feel like sometimes even being a dark-skinned woman, people feel like I should be like hiding myself because I'm not this, or I don't have the long hair, or I don't have a wig. Well, I live in Texas, honey. You probably won't catch me in no wig because it is already hot.
100 degrees already.
It's nothing wrong with wearing wigs, but I absolutely love being bald. I love being expressive. I love wearing makeup. I love having the added notations of this is my accessories. So here I am. So, and I like to let people know that just because I'm bald and I'm an African-American woman, that doesn't mean that I'm going to take less than because I don't have these long, luxurious hair, because some of the hair ain't even their hair. We on borrowed time, y'all. Y'all just don't know. And it's okay. It's their accessory. It's not, it doesn't mean that they're less than because they have hair or they don't have hair. Because I'm sure, you know, I always get the stares, people looking at me like, is she sick? Did she do that on purpose? I get it all the time.
Is that a boy? Is that a gun? What are you doing? Who are you?
All the time. And then some people, I love when people are like, oh, you're so brave and I wish I could do it. I'm like, oh, you can. You got to stand in your power and let people know, like, this beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter that because you don't have no hair, like something is wrong with us. No, unfortunately, it is sometimes something wrong with people, but sometimes they don't lay hair.
It's not the end all.
You know, yeah, get liberated that, oh, they're bald and they're beautiful now. Like, it's just a second chance. And it was for me because I've had long hair before. And I'm like, that's maintenance too. This is maintenance too, by the way, everyone. This is, we still have to wash our hair, dyeing our hair.
Almost every day is a hair wash day.
My hair is a task. Like, it grows so fast when it's this short. And I haven't even had a haircut in a week. So I am struggling right now. So yes, I have my moments too, but that's an excellent question because I get it all the time. I'm wondering, like, am I doing too much? Should I play into the stereotypes of turning it on, turning it off because I'm around this group of people? So that's one thing that I'm trying to learn. Like, just be yourself. Like, they need to adapt to you because you've already went into those rooms and trying to adapt to people and, you know, getting your language together, trying to be posed because you want people to perceive you as a certain way. But I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to just be myself. I want to be very outspoken, but be respectful. I want people to respect my company and understand that, yes, we're small, but we're mighty because we are here to help. And we're not just here to be getting clicks and likes. And because sometimes, as you know, life is real. And sometimes people are hiding and they're not getting the necessary help because people are being judgmental, and then that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the part for me that's not okay.
Okay, so how do you mean this so word? Jeez Louise, I gotta find a new word. How do you think your business will impact the world?
I think my business will impact the world by just being, I always say small but mighty, but who knows what the good Lord has for us, because I do want to be eventually where I can employ people and help them understand that this is just something that we are doing here in Austin, but I also want to get the word out in Dallas. I want to get the word out in Houston, San Antonio, because I feel like I'm not from here. So like people like to call me, I'm a transplant. I am. I'm a true transplant. I've been here now, 20 years? And I'm originally from California. And I don't think that even in California now that it is talked about enough. One of my friends texted me today and said, yeah, mental health is real. She was like, you always talking about it, but it's not preached enough. We need more than a month. And then she told me June is Men's Mental Health Month, which I never knew.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because I'm stressing about how the men need more attention as well as we do. And sometimes like getting in those spaces is hard because men are so, they shut down. And we are more emotional creatures. So we're like, well, what's that over there? Well, how can we get involved? And they're in the background like, yeah, let her
be. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we need to change. So I also want to get more involved in men's mental health. I would want people to understand, like, my company is a bridge way to bigger and brighter things. And we're not going to stop until that we at least get people to understand that we need to take this more serious, like, especially in our Black and brown communities. Like, we need help. And, like, who's going to help us? Because no one has came and helped. I would say since 2020, I feel like we have been decreasing in numbers because we're scared to have that good talking to or go get the help or just be seen. You know, you can't even put nothing on social media no more because they like, who are you talking about? Is something wrong, girl? I'm like, it's something wrong with all of us. But
it is. But it's that pre-notion.
Yes, it's a project.
So, yeah, well, this has been, I got to learn a lot of value in this interview. Like, I knew a little snippet, but this, I got to actually learn exactly what it is you do and how it can help in being able, thank you for saying yes, for starters. Just, I appreciate you saying yes and saying, yeah, I'll do that. Okay. What do you want me to do it? I've immediately, so thank you so much for coming to CEO Talk. I look forward to seeing your TMHC grow and blossom and prosper and help.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I love the name, by the way. I love it so much. And I think that this platform is going to grow and help individuals understand that there is a space for us, and not just meaning us, like Black women, but all women, because sometimes I feel like we may leave individuals behind who necessarily, like the mixed women, who don't think like they are us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you got to drop you, me, honey, you, come on.
Right, that whole argument is outlandish. But then you have your other people who are, well, I don't know where I fall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not considered Black. I'm not considered white. I'm not considered Asian or of this Hispanic descent. I'm Caribbean. You consider me Black because of the color of my skin, but I'm not African American.
Yes.
And so it's like, well, where do I fall? So to be inclusive is important.
Very important. And I tell people, my grandparents are from Honduras. So my grandmother is from Belize. And growing up, I've always heard my grandma used to speak Creole or Spanish. I never really understood what she was saying or how important it was to understand where I come from. But I do now. I tell people that all the time, like, we need to understand, like, some of the things we are learning in this country are something that someone probably told us. And then it passed on to you. And then I said, by the time it got to me, I'm like, well, what happened? So it's like we need to expand our minds and go elsewhere sometimes and learn, like, how can we be better and just incorporate different things. And it's okay. It's okay to learn different things. And I love this platform in order to show us that. It's giving us the opportunity to learn different things. So I appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, Ms. Tanisha Mitchell. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. With that being said, we're going to close out our interview for today. I cannot thank you enough. I'll probably send you a million messages. You were fantastic. You were great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I know it won't be the last time that I'll see you. I promise.
Oh, it definitely won't. You down the street.
Well, I promise.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Tanisha. I'm going to end our call here and I will speak with you soon.
Yes, you have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was our episode. Thank you so much for listening to this amazing interview from another CEO. Here at CEO Talk, The Women's Journey, we like to make sure that we are catering to our audience. So if you are interested in being a CEO or you want to just be a guest on the Just Jaysa platform, please make sure you visit our website, audacityofwomen.com, and go under the podcast section. On that same section, you're going to find the sign up links. Go ahead and sign up with us to be a guest on any of the Just Jaysa platforms, okay? That could be CEO Talk, that could be Just Jaysa Saturdays, or our new segment, which is Awareness and Heritage Panels. And lastly, our biggest one, which will be coming now in May, Contrary to the Culture. So make sure you go ahead and sign up. I would love to have some new guests. But before you go, thank you so much again for watching or listening, depending on your platform. Make sure you like, share, comment, but of course, subscribe to all of our channels on our platforms, as well as turn on your notifications. so you don't miss any future interviews. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Jaysa King. Until next time.
To whoever may need this nugget of encouragement, things will be alright, so quit your worry. I get it, the odds can stack back against the wall, but even consider it such, know you'll stand firm. Sat and watch from the sidelines one too many times. Wicked games we play make me wanna lose my mind. Found solitude knowing it'll be over soon.